This is James Corbett of the Corbett Report, and joining me today is Michael Hay, a member of Vancouver 9/11 Truth, who is engaged in citizen journalism across Canada, confronting politicians like Stefan Dion and Michael Ignatieff on their obfuscation of the lies of 9/11. Michael Hay is also the filmmaker behind the documentary project The Truth Bus Movie at truthbusmovie.com, detailing a trip 9/11 activists took across Canada in September 2008 to raise 9/11 truth awareness before delivering a 9/11 petition to Parliament on September 11th, 2008. Michael Hay, thank you for joining me today on the Corbett Report.
Oh, thank you for having me.
No problem. Well, today on the Corbett Report, we're discussing the idea of the new media, which I interpret to be an internet-based grassroots citizen journalism movement that's redefining the media. And I think the work you're doing is a perfect example of the new media paradigm. So why don't you tell folks about your background and how you came to be involved with Vancouver 9/11 Truth and some of the work that you've done?
Sure. Well, I'm a co-founder of the group in Vancouver, and I'm a filmmaker by trade, but it's never really sort of worked for me to try to do things in a big budget kind of corporate institutionalized way. So I'm more comfortable just on a very small scale with a video camera, trying to talk to people and finding out what people have to say. And with the particular issue of 9/11 that I've now become involved in, I find that we spend a lot of time telling people what to think, and sometimes it's like kind of like trying to bang a head against the wall. So it's actually breaks down a barrier if you give people a chance to voice their opinions, and you realize that people know more than you give them credit for.
Absolutely. Well, tell us about some of the activists and other citizen journalists you've encountered in your travels.
I think every small to medium sized city in Canada has a kind of burgeoning movement. Some of the some are more well known than others. The group in Calgary is a bit notorious because they've done some quite creative stunts where they went into Walmarts and started broadcasting messages, kind of culture jamming type things that they've done. A lot of the in Winnipeg, there's a great group, just college radio, but they cover a lot of interesting topics. A fellow by the name of Michael Welsh does excellent work there. So all over the country, Robert Lewis in Montreal, everybody's kind of doing it on a very small scale, but it all adds up.
Of course it does. It's the combined action of a number of people that ultimately start to add up and make a difference on a larger scale. And on that note, I've watched the trailer for Truth Bus Movie, and it seems to be an extremely interesting documentary project. First, can you tell us a little bit about the project, and then explain how and when people might be able to see the full documentary?
Sure. The when part, that's a bit of an open question. It would be nice to finish it by this summer, but there are kind of a few wild cards in there, so I don't want to promise anything. But essentially, the project grew out of the March on Ottawa, which was activists from all over the country coming together. And in our case, we decided to paint up this bus and drive across the whole country. And we met up in Montreal with activists from everywhere else, and then from there we marched to Ottawa. And what happened is that Parliament was dissolved and Stephen Harper called his surprise election. So we really meant to confront the parliamentarians when we got to Ottawa, but they never went back into session. So it turned into a different kind of event. But we found that because we were so visible, and the nature of what we're doing is that it really broke down barriers, and people would come to us where this is kind of a topic that, because Canadians are very polite and they don't really like to talk about politics much. And so this kind of broke down that barrier and allowed people to come up to us and share their stories and their feelings. And we find that really 9/11 truth is such an open secret. You know, it's actually getting hard to find people who would be willing to defend the official story. And most people know a lot about the things that are going on in the world. It's just something that's never talked about. And we somehow just really need to raise the profile, and we tried to raise, tried to get some of those things onto the election agenda, and had mixed success there. It didn't really break through and become an election issue, which is what we hoped to achieve. But we did, I think we did generate a lot of visibility for the issue, and we don't plan to stop. We plan to keep doing it.
Well, it may not have become a key election campaign issue, but it certainly did get some attention. Can you speak to the fact a little bit about how it was covered in the media?
Well, the I think the biggest thing that this was a election was bizarre in the sense that it was a complete stealth election. You never the leaders basically flew across the country for these controlled photo ops. And it's very hard to even find out where they would be the next day. They kept that information very much under guard, so it was almost completely impossible to approach them, and everything was very tightly controlled. The thing that happened that kind of nobody predicted is the Leslie Hughes was kind of outed, and she was really brutally kind of dragged through the mud by the National Post over an article that she had written questioning the official story. And Dion actually forced her to step down. And so briefly the issue made it onto the national and into the spotlight a little bit. But it's a bit sad that nobody really went to bat for Leslie Hughes. So she was kind of left out to dry a little bit. There's also an NDP MP in BC, Bev Collins, she was outspoken about the issue, and she lost her seat, unfortunately, as well.
Well, it is sad. It is disheartening to see that nobody went to bat on the national stage, but there were certainly a lot of activists that were supportive of her and are still continuing to do incredible work, including, of course, Vancouver 9/11 Truth. And some of the confrontations, as I've mentioned, that you've had include Stefan Dion and Michael Ignatieff. Can you tell the listeners about those confrontations and how they went over with the controlled politicians?
Well, it's funny with this issue. I think it used to be that if you asked the 9/11 question, that it automatically people would get ridiculed, and now if you look at people like Dion or Ignatieff, they're very guarded now in what they say, because it's becoming more and less and less comfortable for them to just denounce anyone who would express doubt in the official story. But at the same time, they're of course will not state their position. So it's quite telling that with this question, that how impossible it is to get a straight, honest answer out of these people. So I personally think it's effective to ask them and record their responses and then put those things online so that people can see what complete nonsense they're coming up with. Eventually over time it just has to erode their credibility to a point where people will refuse to take these people seriously. But for the time being, we have to kind of accept that these are still the people who are pulling the strings in a way, or they do still wield a lot of influence. So change is slow in coming.
It's slow in coming, but it's surely coming, I think. Certainly the new media is rising to displace the old media by asking the questions that the old media just refuses to ask of these politicians and recording their non-responses, which is an incredibly important and effective way of getting this information out to people who otherwise maybe just blindly trust the old media.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's so important. And it's really satisfying when it works. I look forward to the day. I imagine at these kind of town hall meetings, if somebody were to ask that question, and I know when we asked Dion in Winnipeg, and we were kind of fortunate that things sort of lined up, and he was there and he was accessible, because it's so hard to get close to these people. He really was visibly caught off guard a little bit, and he's a professional, and he of course was able to deal with that situation, but he was visibly uncomfortable. And it would have been, I think, a few years in the past, I think, it would have been a lot harder to ask that question and to have a good response from the room. But at that point, there were quite a few people who cheered the question and sort of gave some support to that question. And it's becoming rarer and rarer that people heckle you for asking those kind of important, serious questions. So I look forward to the day where somebody will get up and ask that question, and then the entire room, if everybody stands up and gives their support and demands an answer, I think, you know, you will find a leader who will really be put on the spot and need to give a serious, credible answer.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to stress that fact that you just mentioned, that people are more and more responding positively to these types of questions being given to the politicians. And I think we can see the development of this movement. I'd like to think of the real start of the movement, the citizen journalism movement as a movement, being in the first confrontation that Luke Radowski did with Zbigniew Brzezinski. And, yeah, of course, in that one, it was just Luke Radowski with his camera asking the question and being heckled by the vast majority of the audience, including, of course, Brzezinski himself. But I think that was part of the power of that video, was seeing how one man could take to really derail the lies and propaganda that are being pumped out, and to put a serious issue in front of a politician. And it was such an empowering moment, and I think it inspired a lot of people. And now we see people like yourself and people all across the world taking up that banner and carrying it, and more people are responding positively to it. So I think there is a huge change coming. But stepping back for a moment, can you address the issue of the significance of this citizen journalism movement, and also some of the potential challenges that it faces as the major corporations start to assert their control over the free flow of information across the internet?
Well, I mean, I guess the biggest challenge, I guess, is internet freedom. I marvel at the fact that, I shudder to think where we would be right now if we didn't have YouTube, or if we didn't have the various video hosting services that we have, and that how much that's done for us in the last few years. If you think of the example of Montebello in 2007, I guess, where there were agent provocateurs who were outed by ordinary citizens, and it became a case, effectively citizen journalism, because this ended up on YouTube, and this, it should have really, I mean, that should have shaken Canadians to the core to really demand what's going on in this country. So your question was about the challenges. Sorry. We have to demand a free and open internet, and that's our biggest tool.
It certainly is, and they certainly are moving to close off that tool at the moment, because, of course, the rising tide of the new media is threatening to destroy their control of information. So what can you say to the people who might be listening to this conversation, who may be hesitating or who are intimidated by terms like activism and citizen journalism? What do you think are some of the simplest ways that people can get involved in effecting real change in the info war?
Not everybody is going to be a citizen journalist necessarily, but in a way, we should all think of ourselves as activists, just by acting locally and consciously in everything that we do, and also being honest with ourselves, living honesty in a way. So I think, to me, where the 9/11 issue is one of the reasons why it's so interesting, is that as a society, we've somehow managed to live this lie. And it really, it's become so pervasive. But on the other hand, it won't take much to undo it once we do, because all it takes is for everybody to just speak truth to power, in a sense. So truth is such a powerful force that if you choose to use it to your advantage, it just requires everybody to buy in and to not accept lies, not to accept dishonesty from our media, not accept it from our politicians. We basically have to inform ourselves, and we have to call foul when we're lied to, which is at the moment, I think queer society that's kind of somehow seems to have accepted the fact that this deceit is part of everyday life, and I think that needs to change.
It certainly does. Michael Hay, how can people find out more about you and your work?
Well, right now, I think the truthbusmovie.com is a good place to start. And then Vancouver 9/11 Truth Society, we have a website as well. That's Vancouver911truth.org. I have a blog. It's heymichael.wordpress.com. So that would be easy way to find me.
All right. Well, from one info warrior to another, I commend you for all your efforts on stepping up to the plate and taking action to bring this information to others and effecting real change. So, Michael Hay, thank you for joining me today on the Corbett Report.
I'd like to toss that back at you too. So I think you do excellent work.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you for joining me, and I hope to talk to you again.
Cool. Thank you.